Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When I was younger, whenever I was driving somewhere or traveling, my mom would always ask me to call when I got where I was going or when I got home, so she knew I was safe. I did that with my children too. And I still do that when I travel, let my wife know I arrived safe and sound, because it matters. We call these people our loved ones for a reason, and we don't want anything to happen to them. John's vision in Revelation that we heard today is his glimpse that his loved ones arrived home safe and sound. Because in that great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, are his loved ones. His brother James, and all his fellow apostles who had been martyred. They are standing before the Lamb, before the once dead but now resurrected Jesus. They made it. They made it out of the great tribulation, out of great trials and troubles and struggles and afflictions of this life. The blood of the Lamb saved them from sin and death. Their home. We haven't been given that same vision as John, though we'd like to see that, I think, our loved ones home, safe and sound. Because while we haven't been given the same vision as John to see that, we do have the same words and promises of Jesus. The words and promises that make it so. That this is the future, the reality, for all who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That all people who put their faith, their trust in the life and in death of Jesus, he will see them through death, through the valley of the shadow of death, as their good shepherd, and to eternal life. John got to see that for us. For us who now live by faith and not by sight. That we know that the words and promises of God are true. That death is not the end, but now the gate to everlasting life. The gate that our congregation has had more than usual pass through this year. Roy, Philip, Karis, and Reinhardt. And some of you have had loved ones pass through as well. It's never easy. But it's good to know that in Jesus, they're home, safe and sound. But today I want you to think about something else too. Who's not there? That's sad to think about, but that too is a reality. That not all put their faith and trust in life and in death in Jesus. Some are too busy. Some don't want to be bothered. Some think it's silly. Some put their faith and trust in themselves or in another God. Maybe some think they'll do it later. Worry about all that religion stuff later, but then later never comes. Death comes, and then it's too late. So even as we rejoice and are comforted today in John's vision, we also know we are living in a world in great need A world with a lot of tribulation, trouble, and evil. A world of those, honestly like us, who are not pure in heart, who are prideful, who are mean and violent, who don't pursue righteousness but pleasure, who are not humble but pursue power. We are living in a world where lives are taken and little is thought of it. A world in great physical need for sure, but even more in great spiritual need. Into such a world Jesus came, and even though it chewed him up and spit him out, he used that most horrible death they could throw at him, crucifixion, to meet and overcome our greatest need. To conquer death, break the grave, and rise to life again. And not just his own, but ours too. That though death swallow us up, all might rise to life again in him and join that great multitude that John saw in joy and at rest and peace. Jesus is the Blessed One who has so blessed us with that hope and life. So those words we heard from Jesus today, all those blesseds, they are first and foremost true about him. He is all those things and did all those things and suffered all those things for you so that you be blessed. He won a reward he already had to give it to you. That the kingdom of heaven, being a child of God, and forgiveness and mercy and peace and joy and the promise of a glorious future, all be yours. All you could not do, he did to give it to you. And we remember and rejoice today for our loved ones who also received all those things from him and for whom all those promises have now been fulfilled. But though we are so blessed now with these gifts and words and promises of Jesus, we're not there yet, obviously. We are still in this world in need. This world of great tribulation, toil and trouble, of affliction and struggle, of sin and death. In Jesus and with his blessing and forgiveness, we know we will join that great multitude. That is our sure and certain hope and faith. As sure and certain as Jesus' tomb is empty. But for now, we are blessed here. In this world, in life, in this world of need, in order to be a blessing to others, to bring this life and hope to those who still need it, so that they too, one day, be in that great multitude. So all those blesseds, first and foremost true of Jesus, are now also true for us. We are now all those things and do all those things and suffer all those things for others, that they be blessed. Since we have already received all the gifts and promises of God, we do what we do not for ourselves, for we don't need to, but in a world in need that needs us. A world in need needs mercy and humility and meekness and righteousness and peace and love, even if they don't want it. Even if they chew us up and spit us out too. Or, as Jesus put it today, Even when they revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. They did it once and they'll do it again. They did it to the prophets and to Jesus. And now to the church. To you. So why bother, right? I mean, they want to go to hell? Go to hell then. They don't want to be helped? Fine. I don't need the aggravation, the reviling, the persecution, the hate, the canceling. It's easier not to bother. To live and let live. To do my thing, and that's enough. Well, thank goodness Jesus didn't do that. Because that was us. That was me. That was you. Going to hell. Until Jesus and his Spirit blessed you with faith and life and hope. And now put you here to be a blessing to others. In their physical needs and even more their spiritual needs. To be who you are. And to give what you have been given. Because some will listen. Some will receive these gifts with us. Maybe many, maybe not. But being who you are, a blessed one, by what you do at home, at work, at school, in your neighborhood, that great multitude may grow a little bigger. And our joy may spread a little farther. You may not see it. Think what you do doesn't matter a lick. That's exactly what the evil one wants you to think, so you'll give up. Our church isn't growing. People aren't listening. Our world's getting worse. Just hunker down and wait for the end. Try to survive. But the same John who saw that vision and that great multitude also said that even though we are God's children now, we don't see everything now. In the end, we will see. But now things are hidden. Now we see graves. But the day is coming when those graves will be opened and death will give way to life. And you just might be surprised who's in that great multitude. That person you thought was hopeless. That person you gave up on. That person you thought you blew it with. The Word and Spirit of God does its work. It does for you, and it does for others. So don't give up. All Saints' Day and its encouragement comes at a perfect time. When the days are growing shorter, the world is dying and moving into winter, and we have to endure all the hate and vitriol of another election. It's a little glimpse of Easter and the hope of life, that we live a life of hope. Hope that is renewed here in the forgiveness of our sins and the food of immortality. For salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And that God and that Lamb are here for us with that salvation and life. Life that is eternal, but lived in a world passing away. So now we go back out into that world. That world in need of life and hope. With the life and hope we've been given. And we pray they receive it too. Even just one person. Even just one person Jesus uses you to reach. That's worth it to him. All he did, his life and death, worth it just for that one. Just as for you. For while, yes, Jesus saved the world, he also saves one at a time. One baptism, one absolution, one gift of faith at a time. And the result is a great multitude that no one can count. So don't give up. You are blessed. You have washed your robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You have the promise of eternal life. You will be one of those coming out of the great tribulation. Even as you now join your voice to theirs, that great multitude as we did this morning, singing blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. So now go back out into that world. But don't go the same. Go back blessed. Go back strengthened. Go back forgiven. Go back filled with hope. Soon you will be safely home. Until then, be who you are. A saint, a holy one, one day dying in Christ, but today living in Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.